Welcome to the Unfiltered Gospel. Good day, good evening, good morning, whatever time it is. First, I'd like to apologize for some of the technical difficulties in the previous broadcast. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that unless I re-record that episode. Maybe I will. But for now, we're just going to move on. To the next subject, being what is repentance? So, in the last episode, we discussed an overview of Jesus Christ's message. We saw that Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and the apostles preached the same message. And as I said before, previously on the last broadcast, as you're going to hear me turning through the pages, one, to give you time to go to the verses as I announce them or say them, and also because I want you to understand that I'm not just taking this from a set of notes on paper. This is researched right out of the Word of God itself. So first we're going to turn to Mark chapter 1. So again, Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, and the apostles preached the same message. And that message again is repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, we want to look at it again for those who may not have been with us during the last broadcast. So Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but as he was preaching, here's what he's saying. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We see the same message verified in Luke chapter 5. So you want to turn to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to start at verse 27. Again, this is an account of Jesus calling Levi and how people responded to what Jesus was doing. And look at what Jesus said. Okay? And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. So if we understand Jesus' message from looking at Mark and looking at Luke, we know that Jesus came to call the sinners in to repentance. And by the way, Jesus wasn't saying that these individuals were righteous. He was just making the point. If you think you're not sick, you don't need to go to the doctor. If you think you're not a sinner, you don't need, you're not going to want to repent. But he came to call sinners to repentance. So one of the things you have to notice about repentance is you're going to have to recognize you're sick and you need a physician. But then from reading these and what Jesus Christ said, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to repent? What is repentance? This is a very important thing to point out, because we need to understand that repent is a verb and repentance is a noun, just by definition. One of the things I would love to encourage, which I would love to encourage you guys and am going to encourage you guys as often as I can, is you should purchase yourself a Strong's Concordance if you can afford it. It's a very valuable tool in which you can use to look up words in their original languages in which the text was preserved, that being Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. There are also free online resources. I am not paid to say this, but groups like Bible Gateway gives you access to different translations and gives you access to look up verses quicker and faster than you might be able to just using a concordance. But more importantly, there's a website called blueletterbible.org. You can use that, which has an online version of the Strong's Concordance. But again, I recommend that you purchase your own so that you can do your Bible study away from screens and computers. Okay? It's a good habit to learn just to spend your time one-on-one with God. And sometimes, as I mentioned on the previous episode, you have to study certain concepts on your knees. You have to study certain concepts fasting. There's a time for fasting. Even Jesus talks about that. That's the subject of another broadcast. But according to the Strong's Concordance, the word repent was translated from a Greek word that means to think differently or afterwards, i.e. reconsider, morally feel compunction. Now that may not be clear, and it wasn't clear when I first looked it up, so I decided to use another source, as a dictionary, to look up the definition of compunction. Compunction means a feeling of uneasiness or anxiety of the conscience caused by regret for doing wrong or causing pain, contrition, remorse. Okay? Understanding that and putting that in perspective, we can understand that to repent means to acknowledge when and where you have been wrong. It means to think differently about sin in this context. To stop justifying sinful behavior. That's what it means to repent. It's action. It's a verb. It's supposed to change the individual in the act of repentance. The implication of the definition is that someone who repents changes who he was by thinking differently and what he was doing. To repent is to go the opposite way of sin. Remember, to repent is a verb. It is an action, not just a feeling. It's not just a remorseful feeling that Jesus Christ died for you. That is a piece of it. But understand that it is going the total opposite way. And we'll see more evidence of this fact. And so the question is then, if that's repent, what is repentance? Well, the definition, as pointed out by the Strong's Concordance, is compunction for guilt, including reformation. By implication, reversal of decision. Repentance is a change of mind, a reversal from sin. It's not simply just feeling bad about sin. How many of us have done things that are wrong and sinful, but moments later return to similar behavior? Repentance is a changed state. That's why it's a noun. Repentance is a changed state. It's not remaining the same. It's not this false concept of a backsliding Christian. This is not what God is looking for. And we should probably, if you read the verses about backsliding Israel, it is not a positive thing. It is not something that I would recommend you identifying with. You want to identify with being a converted individual. But understand that repentance is what Jesus Christ was talking about. He said, I came to bring the sinners into repentance. This is what he spent his ministry talking about in parables pertaining to the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 9, starting at verse 9. Okay. This is Matthew's account of the same thing we read in Luke. Let's read it again. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, the same Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that meaneth. See, understand that the Pharisees and the scribes didn't even understand what Jesus was doing. And these are individuals who rewrote the scriptures over to preserve them, copied them from the original text. They studied these texts. Paul was raised under the tradition of a strict Pharisee. He says this himself. But they couldn't even understand that Jesus came to call people out of sin, and that the way that they were living, though they thought they were living by the scriptures, they were living in full sin. But again, he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Again, this is the central focus. The central focus of what Jesus Christ preached. And people don't seem to understand that. We have this God loves you, hyper grace gospels being preached. And I'm not saying that to insult any preacher you may listen to. But you have to study the words of Jesus Christ, not just what people say about the words of Jesus Christ. Make it a habit of going through the four gospel accounts systematically. Do it every time. Stay in tune with the things that Jesus Christ said himself, and not just what people have said Jesus Christ have said. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Again, and there's no need to go to any other scriptures at this point about this particular topic, because we're looking at Jesus Christ's message, his gospel message, his message about repenting, and there's a kingdom coming. There's a literal kingdom coming, and we will talk more about that. But for this, I want to be sure that you know what repentance is. It's turning away from everything you used to be that's opposite from the way of God. And guess what? The only way to do that is to know the way of God. Now, Jesus Christ summarized this on several occasions. He gives you the two greatest commandments. Love God and love thy neighbor as thyself. But he gets those terms and phrases from the Old Testament. You can find them in the book of Deuteronomy. You can find them in Exodus, in Numbers, in Leviticus. You can find the way to fulfill those two great laws by looking at the laws that God outlined and gave to Moses. Moses did not create these laws. If that was the case, then Cain would not have committed sin, because thou shalt not kill didn't come till Moses. No, the law preceded Moses, and that is the way of righteousness. And so God came in flesh to show us the way to live by the laws of God. Jesus' perfect life fulfilled the law. But the apostles also say that Jesus lived as an example that we should follow in his steps. But again, I digress too far. Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 1. And again, I read these verses in the last broadcast, but I want to amplify verses 6 through 9. But let's start at 1, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that the Galileans were sinners. Again, the subject is about sinners. People violating the law. John the Apostle tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. Suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. Now, even Jesus is reminding them and calling in the question what they understand about violating the law. People suffered. Suffering is the consequence of violating God's law. And that is not the way God wants us to live. He made the world perfect. Read Genesis chapter 1. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So again, unless we turn away from our sins, we will perish just like the Galileans whose blood was mingled with sacrifices by Pilate. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Well, Jesus was very clear that unless we turn away from sin, we shall all perish. And understand, here he's talking about, he's making a comparison to physical death, but there are spiritual consequences for sin, for continuous sin, and a lack of repentance. This is why he talks about Gehenna fire. This is why he talks about some will be raised to judgment and some will be raised to everlasting life. And here Jesus goes into a parable in verse 6. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Excuse me. And I want to make this clear. God gives us time to show forth good fruit. He gives us time to bring forth fruits meet for repentance, as John puts it. Read the preaching of John. He asked the Pharisees, who warned you to escape from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Change and prove it in your actions. Prove that you've changed. Not just claiming that you changed. Claiming that you believe what Jesus came to do. Claiming that you believe in God's way, but actually showing it in your character. Consequently, people say that Jesus' gospel had nothing to do with works. False. We're reading it right here in this parable. Again, it says, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree. And understand, that's where we have the fruits of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. God wants to see you follow the Spirit and bring forth fruits after the kind of the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God work in you. Okay, he says, cut it down. Why cumbersome is it the ground? Why is it taking up space? Is what he's saying. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. So again, this parable, this analogy is, again, God's giving space for people to grow and change. He'll even give you the fertilizer to grow. Like farmers do trees. And just like a farmer whose tree does not bear fruit, there's a consequence for that tree. And we see this in the next verse. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down. And so to understand that God expects us to grow and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Turn away from sin. As Paul says, yield yourself as instruments of righteousness unto God, not instruments of unrighteousness. Okay? We also need to understand that Jesus Christ, on several occasions when dealing with sinners in question, was able, what he went on to tell them, to stop sinning. To stop sinning, but preachers don't want to speak about that because that's repentance. Stop sinning. Turn away from sin. Turn to God. It's not just, oh, give your heart to God. Well, what does that really mean if there's no evidence? Well, if you say, I have Jesus in my heart, what does that mean if your character is ugly and stained? Turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 5. The Gospel according to John, chapter 5. Let's read it. When Jesus meets a cripple at the pool of Bethesda. Starting at verse 1. And after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. For 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. Is it not lawful for you to carry your bed? He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said, take up your bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto you, take up your bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, or knew not who it was, is what that means in the old English. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, or hid himself away, a multitude being in that place. Okay? Now notice what Jesus says to this man when he sees him again in the temple. Afterward, Jesus found of him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more. Sin no more. Jesus admonished this man to repent, to turn away from sin, to live differently. He also says this, lest a worse thing come unto you. We have to understand that to repent is to turn away from sin. This is what the Apostle Paul preached. This is what Apostle Peter preached about. It would be better if people didn't know the way of righteousness than to come in that way and turn away from it. Because repentance is a serious thing. And when you turn to God, you have to stay in that way. Or something worse will happen to you if you turn back to sin. Repentance is a commitment to living God's way. Not just a commitment to believe that God exists and that God sent his son. That's a part of it. But all of that should stir you to live God's way. Let's. I see I'm running low on time, so let's turn to John chapter 8 and let's look at one more account pertaining to this. Repentance and repenting. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Again, this is the story of the adulterous woman. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, or in the middle, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now understand the hypocrisy of these people, and I don't want to go on too many side roads or tangents, but understand that they didn't bring the man as well, who was engaged in the adultery as well. But that's a subject for another conversation. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what says you? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Okay? Now, people like to read this part, but ignore all the rest. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the middle, or the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned you? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't just say, I forgive your sins. I don't condemn you. You're fine. Go back to the way you were before. He said, no, go and sin no more. This is a message of repentance. The words aren't explicitly used, but it is the same concept. It is the turning away from sin. It is recognizing that you have been living the wrong way. You're living a life that is leading to physical and spiritual destruction. And you need to turn away from that, because God has promised you a life that is far greater than a life consumed with sin. Really quickly, I like to turn to Matthew. Really quickly, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Really quickly, as I'm winding down here. I just want to show you something that people also ignore. Starting at verse 17, Jesus says, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, as I mentioned earlier. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. And we ignore this admonishment from Jesus Christ that he gave directly to his disciples, that God expects us to keep the least of the commandments and teach others to do so, to turn away from sin, to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. But consequently, I am out of time with that verse. Read the second half of that verse where it says, those who will keep the least of the commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom. You can find more Bible-based teachings at our website, thetwooliveTrees.org, but more importantly, spend time with God and your Bible alone. God bless you and good day.